Welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, the host of Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the people who are working hard to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. Today we'll take some time to learn about a nonprofit that works to conquer childhood cancer. I think nobody would deny that childhood cancer is a traumatic event that affects not only the child, but also their parents, their siblings, really their entire family, their friends, their classmates, their soccer teammates, really their entire social network is impacted by one child's diagnosis of cancer. Lisa Goodwin is the co-founder and managing director of Connor's Heroes, and she's here to inspire you with some news about their uplifting work, as well as share how you can make a difference in the lives of children and families affected by childhood cancer. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Elaine. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Now, I understand that you have some personal connection to this work that led you to create Connor's Heroes. Can you tell us a little bit about your history and why Connor's Heroes came about?
Sure. So I am best known as Connor's mom. Connor was 22 months old when he got diagnosed with leukemia. That was almost 10 years ago now. And we went through 2.5 years of his treatment, and he is now a thriving 11-year-old.
That's great.
But as we were going through treatment, you know, we realized this is really hard for us to go through, and we had tremendous support from everyone in the community, friends, family, people from church, our neighbors, coworkers. But we looked around us at other kids that were going through treatment and realized they don't all have the same support network that we had. And it was even hard for us with that support. And so we thought long and hard about it throughout his treatment. And as soon as he ended his treatment, we decided that we would start a foundation so that we could fill the gaps in support that was already being provided and help families through their journey.
So helping families through their journey is a big part of it. And it sounds like your personal experience is what really inspired you to get it started, huh?
That's absolutely right. And what we found is it really allows us to provide that individualized support to families because we've been there and we get it. And nobody can truly understand what it's like to go through a childhood cancer journey unless you've been on that same journey. And so it allows us and me in particular to connect with families on a different level because they just know intuitively that I understand what they're going through.
A different level than maybe the staff in a hospital or clinicians, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can provide moral support, but also practical resources?
Yep, that's exactly right. And that's what our programs are designed to do, is to help families with those practical needs and other support that just kind of helps them get through the process a little bit more easily.
So how long has Connor's Heroes been around now?
We started in May of 2006, so we're just 7 years old.
Oh, great. So now what services and programs are you providing?
Well, we started our very first program was Heroes Bags and Backpacks, and that is designed to help families right when they get diagnosed. So there are about 60 children diagnosed with cancer and treated here in Richmond a year, an average of that. And as soon as they're diagnosed, they're given a backpack that's full of great things to help them kind of keep occupied while they're going through their long days of treatment. And their parents get a tote bag that has toiletries and soft tissues. And then it also has vouchers for free house cleaning, a $50 gas card, free portraits and restaurants that deliver to the hospital, and things that just sort of help them through those first couple months when you feel like your world stops when you get your diagnosis, but it doesn't. You know, it keeps on going and you still have things that you need to do to take care of your family. So that was our first program. We also provide support to the bone marrow transplant unit patients. It's an adult unit, but also treats children, and they were a little bit of the forgotten population.
Well, are they located in a different place? This is at MCP?
This is still down at the hospital, okay. But it's the only part of the Massey Cancer Center, so it's an adult unit that also treats children because it's so specialized.
I see. So you're able to go to the bone marrow transplant unit, which is at Massey Cancer Center.
Yes.
And you have Are there special, although it's an adult part of the services, is there special pediatric rooms there or anything like that?
So there are special pediatric rooms, and we actually created a family room up there. We transformed a conference room into a family room and painted beautiful murals on the walls. We keep the cabinets stocked with toiletries and games and books and art supplies. It has a Wii and a TV and a computer, and it's a way for families to get out of the hospital room and visit together in a much more pleasant setting. When you're on the bone marrow transplant unit, you're there a minimum of 3 weeks, and it could be up to 3 months or sometimes even longer. So it can be really isolating when you're stuck in one room the whole time. We also have patients fill out a questionnaire before they arrive that tells us everything that they like, from favorite color and animal to sports and musicians. And then we have volunteers that go out and shop, and they decorate the room before the patient gets there. Oh. So they arrive and have their name on a big sign on the door. They have decorations all over the place. We leave gifts for the patient, their siblings, and their parents, including a memory foam pillow for parents to sleep on when they stay there. And it just makes it feel a little bit more like home, and that somebody is thinking about them.
Yeah, and when they're going through such a difficult time as well, I'm sure that means a lot.
Absolutely. And we bring them gift on the day of transplant, and we send them gifts on day of discharge.
Wow. So how often do you have pediatric patients in that unit each year?
It really varies. There are an average of about 15 to 20 patients a year, pediatric patients up there.
Mm-hmm. But they could be there for quite a while, it sounds
exactly.
like.
Right. Exactly. Right. We have two currently on the unit.
Oh, wow. So that's part of your bone marrow transplant unit work. You said you also do the backpacks and the tote bags for the parents. Do you have other programs at your...
So we also have superheroes and sidekicks. We realize that the whole journey can be a little bit isolating for kids. A lot of times they can't go to school. They're in the outpatient clinic quite a bit. Or they're a little bit in a bubble when they're at home because their immune system is compromised and they can't be around a lot of people where they might come in contact with germs. And so we match a community volunteer that we have put through a pretty rigorous background and screening check and trained them specifically. And then we match that volunteer with a patient or with their siblings. It's really important to us to make sure that the siblings don't feel left out. There's a lot going on with them too through this process. Mm-hmm. And they're a buddy. We call them a mentor buddy, but they're really just a buddy. And they do fun activities that they enjoy, and it might be something as simple as going and watching a movie together, or depending on the patient, or if it's a sibling, they can go out to roller skating or to Sweet Frog or to, do any number of things. Then we also plan special events for the entire group about every other month. So we do over the holidays. Our next event will be a Richmond Flying Squirrels game, and we'll treat the whole family to that. We've done Kids in the Kitchen. We've done music festivals, you name it.
So all different types of events, again, getting back at breaking down that social isolation that can take place so that children that are going through the cancer treatment or recovery, they'll be able to be healthier, but also the siblings too. I want to talk about the siblings a little bit more, but first I just want to let people know that you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're talking with Lisa Goodwin. She's the co-founder of Connor's Heroes, a nonprofit organization that aims to conquer childhood cancer through assistance, awareness, and research. And Lisa, what's your website where people can get more details about Connor's Heroes?
It's connorsheroes.org, connorsheroes.org.
connorsheroes.org, and Connor with two O's. Great, thanks. Now, back to your program that also is helping out with the siblings. I just was curious about that because I can imagine, I've not been through it myself, but I can imagine that when your brother or sister is going through this intense medical treatment, you just don't get the same level of attention that you might be accustomed to.
That's exactly right. And then there's even more to it if you think about it. So the sibling is feeling left out and slightly abandoned as the parents are focusing most or all of their attention on the patient. And they feel upset about that. but then they're also terrified about the fact that they might lose their brother or sister, and then they feel guilty that they even feel left out and have these feelings. And so there's an amazing amount of emotion that's going on with the siblings that I think gets forgotten. And so I think that they feel really special when we say, well, hey, wait a minute, you get your very own sidekick and you're going to do your very own activities, maybe sometimes with your brother or sister, but maybe just you and your sidekick. And you're important too. And it's made a huge difference. And we continue our program even if the patient loses their battle. The siblings don't just automatically get kicked out of the program. And we have several siblings who are continuing to thrive in our program even though they've lost their sister.
So the sidekicks are there to help with that support. And you said that they receive specialized training to help them through what the children might be dealing with at any given time.
Exactly. So we put our sidekicks through a training program that Virginia Mentoring Partnership helped us create the entire program, and they help us train our sidekicks from the mentoring perspective. And then we give them sort of that special training for what a childhood cancer journey is like, because it's different and you need to understand the necessity to keep Purell on hand at all times and to you know, understand what a fever means if a kid in treatment gets all of those types of ideas.
So I imagine those are volunteer positions, the sidekicks?
Yep, they are. Yeah. And our sidekicks can be 16 or older. We have a few high school students. We have young adults. We have retired adults. We have a pretty good handful of medical students who are great sidekicks, especially for our patients that are spending a lot of time down at the hospital.
Oh, because they'll be down there so they can go and check in on their friend while they're there, their sidekick while they're there.
Exactly. And then it has the added benefit of reminding our medical students that there's a personal aspect to it, that it's not all clinical.
Oh, bedside manner training.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And again, Lisa, what's your website where people can go find out how to get involved as a volunteer with Heroes and Sidekicks?
It's connorsheroes.org, connorsheroes.org. And at the top right-hand corner, there's a button to click to register to volunteer. So it's super simple.
Great. Now, you talked about your bags and backpacks and superheroes and sidekicks, your special program with the bone marrow transplant unit. And are there any other specialized programs that you're conducting right now?
So we've been doing sort of on an ad hoc basis, really individualized family support. And what we're in the process of rolling out is our newest program called Helping Heroes. And it's really a formalization of what we've been doing informally, which is helping families to have all of the support that they need and empowering their community of heroes to know how they can help too. And so along the years, we've had friends and family members of our patients say, I need to do something. I feel helpless. How can I help? I don't know what to do. And so the Helping Heroes program is designed to, we'll have a case manager meet with the families when they get diagnosed and talk with them about the types of needs they may have. A lot of times they don't even know what they need yet. It's so overwhelming. And so we'll talk about things like meals and yard care and child care and grocery shopping and other errands. And we'll help develop a care calendar that our volunteers will plug into, but also the family's community of heroes can plug into. And so the family won't need to say, when someone says, what can I do to help,
Right. They
won't have to think about it. They can say, hey, here's the care calendar. Take a look and see if something works for
you. So that's something you're formalizing now.
Absolutely.
I can see how that would be an enormous help, because it's true. When you're going through something that's distracting you and taking up all of your attention, you can't even remember that you need to water the plants. You can't even remember that you need to go grocery shopping or whatever the case may be. So having it all planned out for you, I imagine, would be a tremendous help.
Yeah, that's the plan for sure. And you know, the other aspect of it is a lot of people are uncomfortable asking for help or even
accepting
help.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, even if you know that you need some help, you may just be reluctant to admit it. Or not that you're not appreciative, but you just think a lot of us as parents, we want to do it all. We want to be responsible for all of it, and we don't want to let go. But you need to at certain times. And when you're going through childhood cancer, it sounds like that's a time when you need to ask for that help.
Absolutely. And so we'll be piloting that very shortly, I would say within the next month. And so we will need plenty of volunteers to help with that. And the easy part about it is, you know, a lot of us are so busy and so overscheduled that we can't commit to a regular and routine volunteer opportunity. But we can certainly say, hey, if I get an email that they need a meal delivered over the next couple months, well, yeah, I can probably put that into my calendar. Or yeah, I could go mow someone's grass after I do mine. Or, you know, I could run some errands or run to the grocery store every so often. So I think it'll be a really easy way for people who want to do something but can't commit to a long time period or for an extended commitment.
And they can schedule it ahead of time too, which is always helpful in our lives these days.
Exactly.
So again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And we're speaking with Lisa Goodwin, the co-founder of Connor's Heroes. Remind us where people can learn more about how you work to combat childhood cancer.
You can learn more about us at our website, connorsheroes.org, connorsheroes.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, Connors Heroes.
Great, thank you. Now, you've referenced some volunteer opportunities, and I just want to be sure that we have an understanding of the many ways that you use volunteers, because you are working with them through Sidekick volunteers. You also have the volunteers that you're piloting with the Helping Heroes program. Is that just on Helping Heroes? Is that going to be like an electronic calendar that people?
It is.
Oh, okay, good. So they can go right on the website and plug in.
Anyone who's ever been involved in PTAs, we're probably going to be using a sign up genius type of thing where you can just plug right in.
Okay, good. That'll be really helpful. But along with volunteers, you also have other community partners that come into play, right? So who are some of the community partners that you work with? I mean, I imagine the hospital clearly is one of them.
Absolutely. So there are a bunch of different organizations that provide different types of support to these families, and it ranges from specialized camps, summer camps, to grief support, if that's what's needed, to everyday support, educational support, you name it. And what I realized when we were going through this journey is there were a lot of support systems out there, but I didn't even know about them all, and I felt like I was trying hard to be informed. And so we started a group called the Childhood Cancer Community Consortium back in 2007. We call it C4, and it is a network of any organization who touches our families in some way can be involved. We meet quarterly, and our very first thing that we did was create a resource book and a website for the families going through treatment so they could know what was available to them. But we also share ideas. We make sure that we're filling any gaps in services that might be out there. We are sharing our special events and networking and making sure that we're getting the information out to all of the families. So that's a large group of, 15 to 20 partners. And then we work more individually. So for instance, just this past Saturday, there were several other organizations and Connor's Heroes put on the pediatric oncology prom down at the hospital. So the hospital staff, ASK, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and Connor's Heroes worked together. This was our third year doing it. And we completely transformed the cafeteria. This year's theme was Under the Sea. And you'd never know you were in a cafeteria. And we bring in a DJ and great food, and we do hair and makeup. We make sure all of the kids, boys and girls, have the appropriate outfits to wear if they can't afford their own. And it's just a really fun night. We had patients from the bone marrow transplant unit that were able to come, and patients inpatient who could not have gone off campus, but because we did it at the hospital, they could be there. And so that's one way that we collaborate with other organizations. We also do, on a weekly basis, Lunch Bunch up on the inpatient pediatric floor at MCV. CJ's Thumbs Up Foundation and Connor's Heroes partner, and we provide lunch to patients and their caregivers, and a lot of the staff as well, each Thursday.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it's volunteers providing that lunch as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, back to the volunteer piece. How else can people volunteer with Connor's Heroes and get involved?
So in addition to what you said, of course, we have our volunteer room decorators who go up to the bone marrow transplant unit. We always have volunteers who do backpack drives for us. So the items that we put into our backpacks, the games and the books and the puzzles and the arts and crafts supplies, lots of different groups or individuals can donate items for that. We are always in need of gift cards. So we have people doing gift card donations, whether it's gas or groceries or Target or Walmart or you name it. And then those same volunteers who do the drives or other volunteers can help us pack the backpacks. In fact, this afternoon, I have a group of students who are graduating from Holton Elementary, fifth grade, who are packing backpacks. They did a drive for us several months ago in honor of their friend Abby, who lost her battle. And they said, hey, we want to do something to honor her memory. And so I'm going to go meet them this afternoon and we're going to pack some backpacks.
That's wonderful that the children figured out a way to honor their friend who had to go through that. And but it's also an indication of how childhood cancer impacts those many layers that you interact with in your community. It's not just the child or the family, it's their classmates, it's their whole community. So it sounds like there are different ways that you all interact with those different pieces of a child's life.
Right, that's exactly right. And then of course, other volunteer opportunities. We do special events because we have to raise money to do all these great programs. And so if that's something that appeals to you, we're always looking for committee members for our special events. We need back office support. We need people to help with stuffing envelopes and doing administrative work and database management, you name it. If you can think of a business that has an operating piece, whether it's IT support or website support or social media, we have a staff of two, not quite two. So do so much of our how we run is through the help of volunteers. We couldn't do it without our amazing volunteers.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So it sounds like the volunteers are giving of their time, but also their resources in terms of all of the donations that come in for the decorations and the bags and the tote bags and all of that too.
Exactly.
Well, that's an enormous help on the budget as well. So how else do you support your budget?
So in addition to the special events that we do, we receive private contributions from individuals and businesses and other foundations.
Like most of the other nonprofits out there, Lisa.
Exactly.
Now, remind us what your website is again.
Our website is connorsheroes.org, connorsheroes.org. And we're actually in the process of redoing and updating our website, which hasn't happened since we started in 2006. So we're excited for that. But
there's a lot of current information on there right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you said you also have a Facebook page where you keep updates.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. So a few ways you can reach out and find Connor's Heroes. So Lisa, before we close, I just want to check with you to see, you know, how you keep going. I know that you were inspired initially by what you went through with Connor. And you said you have a staff of not quite two people doing a tremendous amount of work. It's got to be exhausting. How do you keep going? Where do you get your energy and your inspiration to do the work that you do?
Well, you know, you're right. It is a labor of love for sure, but it is, I know that we're making a difference because I see and I hear from the families that we've touched. I see them getting involved with us when they've gone through treatment, either on our board or on our programs committee or in a volunteer capacity by doing a backpack drive or a gift card drive. And they want to give back because they know that we've made such a difference. And that to me is such a great testimony. And I think, well, if they're willing to go through it and to get involved and give back to us, then it's certainly something that I need to keep doing because we are making a difference. We are touching lives. We're not doing a ton, but we're making a difference in the small way that we can. And
do you have any success stories or how do you really know that you're making a difference? Those folks that are coming back to continue supporting after they've benefited from the program would be one way. Are there other stories that you have to share?
Oh, gosh, there are hundreds of stories.
Sure. Give us a quick one.
Which one do I give you? Well, I referred to Abby's friends who are coming today to do the backpack
that's
drive.
Really neat.
And we've got Kanya's friends. Kanya's Cause is an amazing group of teenagers who are supporting and honoring the memory of their friend Kanya, who lost her battle at age 16 last year. And they are doing special events and fundraising and volunteering for us in her memory. because they know that we touched her. Kanya was touched by every program that we had, and her siblings are still part of our Superheroes and Sidekicks program. And so it's been heartwarming to see that her community of supporters recognized what a difference Connor's Heroes made in their lives and now wants to give back to us as well.
No, that's a great testimony for the value of what you're providing to the Richmond community. So once again, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3. And today we've had the privilege of speaking with Lisa Goodwin, and she's the co-founder of Connor's Heroes, or Connor's Heroes Foundation, I guess is the full name, right? But Connor's Heroes is a nice shorthand. And remind us, Lisa, once again, where people can find out more about Connor's Heroes.
To learn more, please visit our website at connorsheroes.org, and you spell Connor with an O and heroes with an E.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. It's been a privilege to have you here.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
And as always, I'm also thankful to my fellow volunteers here at WRIR, like Andrew Hawes and Jay Westerman, who help out with the technical side of getting a live show on the air, and Brittany Tracy, who makes sure we keep the Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. And there's also Jesse over there on the board, managing that soundboard here on Tuesdays. So as you can see, it's a team of volunteers here at Volunteer Power WRIR. So if you want to learn how you can join our team, you can visit our website, which is wrir.org, and find out more about how you can get involved. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and change makers who are working to make a difference. I really hope you learned something new on the show today and that you're ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds.